Independence Day. Man, do we really understand what 4th of July really means? 4th of July, Independence Day, was where men and women took a stand and battled and fought for freedom. Battled and fought to be delivered from a country that had a state church. They didn't want to be a part of the state church. Now, I know some of you kids, as you're studying in school, they've taken it out, and some of our history books say that America was not built on a Christian nation, as a Christian nation, on Christian morals because of the Christian desire. But I'm going to tell you it was. Absolutely. Listen, this country, that is why you find scripture on all, you go to Washington, D.C. How many have been to Washington, D.C.? Yeah, you go there, and what do you find? You find scripture, you find Ten Commandments, you find all this stuff built into the walls and into the monuments and on the stones and all this stuff around, and then you go into these courthouses, and they got the Ten Commandments on there, and I mean, everything that we see in this country is based on the Bible. And people say, no, it's not. No, it's not. And so as I thought about Independence Day, and I thought about freedom and what it means to us. Now, we look around our country today and people are going, oh, you know, if we don't need Christianity, take it out. We don't need God, take him out. We don't need Jesus, take him out. And so we see a country that is becoming morally bankrupt. And we go, what's happening? So as I was thinking about today, and I go, you know, I'm going to do a 4th of July message, and of course, you guys know we're in Romans, and I hate to leave Romans, and so if I can make the passage fit, I'm going to stay in Romans. Amen? Listen, if we're going to get out of this thing before everybody retires, we got to hang in there. And so I thought, okay, we're going to go into Romans. We're going to stay in Romans because it fits. Today, this passage that we're going to be talking about, which is in Romans chapter 8. We're in Romans chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, take it out. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. And so as we look at Romans chapter 8, 12 through 17, what we're going to find is we're going to find that we have been liberated by the Holy Spirit. Well, this country was liberated by men and women who said, I want to serve the God that I want to serve, and I want to read the Bible that I want to read, and I want to honor God with my life, and I don't want to follow a false religion. I don't want to follow a false doctrine. I don't want to be under the oppression of what you say I have to do. I want to be under the guidance and the leadership of God and what he says. And that's how we ended up with this country, guys. It was a battle. It was a fight. There were people who lost their lives because they believed that it was more important to have the freedom to live by this than to be under oppression and live by man and his rules. So as I looked at this today in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, let's read that, and then we're going to break it down and discuss it. In verse 12, it says, Therefore, what do you mean therefore? Well, because of 8:1 through 11, that's what he's referencing here. Remember when we see a therefore, we find out what it's there for? And so he says, therefore, because of everything I just told you, brethren, talking to the Christian, talking to those who believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we are debtors. Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put death the deeds of the body, you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. You know, we're really a debtor, if you will, to those who gave their lives for our freedom. And you know, of course, you guys know I like to ride motorcycle, And my brother and I, we rode out to Sturgis one year out in South Dakota, and they had a patch that said the price of freedom's written on the wall. You know, freedom's not free, the price of freedom's written on the wall. And so I got that patch, and I put it on my leather chaps, and I thought, man, you know, it's so true. The price of freedom has cost lives. And as a Christian, I think we've lost the fact that the price of freedom of Christianity, freedom to freely speak about God, freedom to freely speak about Jesus, is going to cost us something. And if we really value our morals that we have in this country, and we really value where they're, because you know this country was, and I say was, the greatest country in the world. Now, I would still rather live here than anywhere else. But it was a battle, it was sacrifice. Listen, I'm going to tell you, you go and you read about Independence Day and you watch some of the videos on Independence Day and the battles that went on. And listen, people just took a stand. They said, we will not surrender. And when the battles were going on, people were praying all over, we will not surrender. But somewhere along the line, guys, Americans have become so spoiled little brats. I'm just saying, right? And we go, listen, we're not willing to take a stand and fight because we go, oh, I'm not going to disrupt my world. And so you guys fight it over there. If don't bring it in my house. But guys, the truth is when they lose that battle over there, it comes into our living room. And we're looking at Independence Day. Man, what made us so independent and free? It was men and women who took the stand and said, I will not surrender. I will not take a back seat. I'm going to fight for what's right. But somewhere along the line, Christians went, everybody said, hey, Christian, you need to be quiet. Don't you speak about Jesus. Don't you do it. And we went, oh, okay. Oh, and when you come to work, don't you read your Bible. Oh, okay. And when you go to school, don't you read your Bible. Oh, okay. And listen, when you get around your workplace, you got to be, oh, okay. And listen, you can't go into public and talk about, oh, okay. And man, all of a sudden, we start losing our freedom. But have you noticed, guys, and I'm serious now, just pay attention for a minute. Have you noticed that the more we remove God from society, the more we remove God from our household and our lives because we're going to let our kids learn their own way, the more we remove all of that, look what's happening to society. Morally, it's a train wreck. An absolute train wreck. And it's because we have lost the heart and the desire to fight the battle like they were fighting for our freedom when we became an independent free country. And we go, what's happened? Well, what's happened is we go, oh, I don't want to be bothered. Don't mess up my little world, because it's all perfect right now. And I'm not going to say anything to disrupt my little world because then all of a sudden it's not perfect anymore. But I'm going to tell you, your silence is costing you your perfect little world. Independence Day. Guys, I'm telling you, you need to take this weekend when you go home. And how many have tomorrow off? Yeah, so take tomorrow and go on YouTube and check out some of these videos that explain Independence Day. Because we have got to start having a desire to fight for what is right. That's what made this country free, independent, and what we were. And the more we surrender, the more they take. And the more they take, the less we have. And it's like, oh my goodness. The cost of freedom, guys, means somebody's going to lose their life. That's what this passage is talking about, spiritually speaking. For verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. Listen, you can't do things morally corrupt like the world is doing and not expect backlash and heartache and destruction and death. Because that's what's happening. Happy 4th of July. Verse 14, he says this, look here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And so if you're led by the Spirit of God, and listen, we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ specifically, who Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Father, who created everything, you and I, and everything around here. So I want to be very specific about who I'm talking about. He says, listen, if you're led by the Spirit of God, then you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, look here in 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When we look at this and we say, hey, you know what? When we live by the Holy Spirit of God, when we live by the Word of God, when we apply the morals and all these things that we have learned and that should be in us, because who lives in us? Who lives in us? If you're the Holy Spirit, if you're saved. And so the Holy Spirit lives in you, and therefore you're going to live under the Holy Spirit. You're going to be as the Holy Spirit. You're going to do the things that God calls us to do, because why? Well, you have God in you via the Holy Spirit once you get saved. And he said, once you have the Spirit of God, you don't surrender or submit to fear. You're free. You've been delivered. Look, isn't that what it says? Look here, guys, look here. This, by the way, this should be an encouraging message. So if I'm not delivering it encouraging, forgive me. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You notice it says again? Have you noticed that the more our country leaves God, the more bondage we fall into? Have you noticed the more fear that people are under today? Fear of losing their job, fear of oppression of the government, fear that we can't afford the taxes. We can't afford the taxes, fear of losing our stuff. Because somewhere along the line, we value things more than people anymore. I mean, it's just, it's kind of crazy. But have you noticed, look what he says here, guys. This is so important. When we're talking about liberation, we're talking about Independence Day, spiritually speaking. I love this. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Listen, if you are born again, child of God, you're not in bondage. You're not in prison. We have this fear, or this freedom that we can live and do and talk and speak. The problem is we're afraid of man. And so we allow man to keep us quiet. Isn't it interesting you can't talk about God in school? But man, they open their doors wide open for you to come in and tell the convicts about Jesus. Because they need a change. They need something good. They need to get saved, because it's proven it changes their life. And it's like, wait a minute, why don't you let us do this in the school and get them while they're young? No. No, we want to teach them about the homosexuality, and we want to teach them about transgender, and we want to teach them, Oh, but you can go into prison and talk all you want, because we need some good people to come out of there now. Like, we have this whole twisted thing. And guys, I'm just telling you, we don't live in fear anymore. We have the Spirit, the power of God on our lives to do the things of God. Why are we quiet? What country would this be if men and women of old would have lived in fear and wouldn't fought for their freedom? We'd be talking something like, I don't know, how do you talk? Somebody speak English accent? I thought I'd throw it out there. I even practiced once. I should have practiced 10 times. Because it sure didn't come out good, did it? It come out sounding like Milton from Arkansas. As though... That's English. I remember I worked with a guy in North Carolina when I first moved there in 87, and his name was Billy, and he's talked deep South. Like, anybody ever deal with a deep South accent? You can't understand it. It is the Southern version of tongues, And I remember one day I'm in the truck, because we rode together in a truck, and I was taking over his truck. He was retiring, and he's over there in the passenger side talking, and I'm driving down the road, and finally it just reached the point where I went, Billy, just be quiet. I can't understand you. I can't tell you to speed up, because that doesn't work, and you sure don't need to slow down anymore. Just be quiet. He was a great guy, but yeah, he would speak in tongues, Southern style. It was kind of crazy. But anyway, so listen, guys, as we are looking at this, and we're looking at freedom, and we're looking at deliverance, guys, there's no need to live in fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. Do you realize what that means? Christians aren't crazy. God gave us a sound mind, amen? So as long as we hang around people that are just like us, we'll seem normal. I had somebody say that I was crazy the other day, and I went, no, I'm not crazy. Mm-mm, you are just misdirected. Your assumptions are wrong. Which they walked away not believing, but I felt better feeling like I justified my position. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We are children of God. And how does God feel about his children? Listen, he says that he feeds the birds of the air. Do you realize that birds of the air, they do not make nests. I mean, they do not store food. They depend on their food every day. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, bird, if you say you eat like a bird, don't say that out loud, because a bird eats equal to his own weight and more every day. So if you're 200 pounds, you're not eating like a bird, I hope. I'm just kind of saying, right? And so he says, listen, if I love the birds of the air, and we're talking about crows, right? I mean, how annoying is a crow? I mean, they can call it a raven, but it just because it sounds better doesn't mean it's any better. And yet he feeds the crows, the ravens of the air every day. And he says, if I feed them every day, how much more do I love you, who we are made in the image of God? And so don't fear bondage, because God loves us so much that he'll take care of us. He'll supply our needs. He'll give to us. He'll guide us. He'll direct us. He'll protect us. He'll empower us. We see all these promises in the Word of God. Why do we live in fear when we have been delivered from bondage? We have liberation through the Holy Spirit. It is Independence Day. We need to celebrate it. Not just the celebration of our country being free, because we're losing those freedoms because the Christian won't stand for theirs. See how it's all interconnected? So when we read the verse that we are responsible for our brothers, we are our brother's keeper. That means that when you fail to do what is right, or to live by a standard that you say you believe and hold to, then we actually corrupt society or help society be corrupt. Why? We don't have to. We don't have to live in that. That is not our call. That is not. We should be living according to the Word of God, because we have been free. There should be no fear, because we have the power of God on our side. Independence Day. Not independence of our country, but independence of us as individuals. Why don't we live like we're free? And we celebrate Independence Day. We're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers after this. Tim was like, hey, I'm going to cut out early and I'm going to start cooking. So when those hungry people come out of there and they look at me like, where's the food? I'll have it. I mean, Tim's not the biggest guy around, so enough people look at him wrong, you'll scare him. We'll have to put Larry out there, stand in front of, between the grill and the door. Not yet. Why do we live in fear? There's no reason, no need. For God so loved us, he gave his only begotten Son. Why? So that we should have life, not death. But where's our mind? What are we thinking about? Remember, isn't that what he talked about here in 5? For those who live according to 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, where have you set your mind? What are you thinking about? What's the direction you want to go? Because I'm going to tell you, the direction that you are thinking about going is the direction you're going to go. Thoughts are things, right? And so the more we think about, the more, when we think about something, we generally are going to make it happen. Do you realize that you have life? You don't have death if you're in Christ. The Spirit has liberated us. The Spirit has fought the battle for us. We're free. And if you're free in Christ, you're free indeed. Man, the promise of God, and yet we choose to live restrained. because we don't want to offend anybody. I have a shirt that the Dottons bought me, and I love to wear it. It says, if I offended you, that was just a bonus. If I offended you, I didn't mean to. That was just a bonus. It's like, who have I not offended? Amen. But you keep coming back, so I'm impressed. Look here in 6. He goes on in 8:6 and he says, because remember, we're talking about what we think. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I'm going to tell you, life and peace brings what? Freedom. Freedom. You're free. You're free. And what do? We decide to not leave that prison. We stay in bondage. Remember Israel when they were delivered from Egypt and Moses brings them out? And here's the amazing thing, guys. Let's go back and just kind of relive that for a moment. Moses brings them out. Pharaoh's army is coming. They're by the Red Sea. God brings us this darkness darkness that separates the army that wants to kill the Israelites. God brings us this curtain of darkness that separates the two. And then he separates the Red Sea. Now let's just think about this just for a moment. What does that look like? Well, they say with the amount of people that there were, the amount of Israelites that had to cross the Red Sea, that the Red Sea had to have been separated or divided about a mile. Now think about that. That's kind of hard to fathom for a second, isn't it? For a mile, it's got to be divided. And so as it's being divided, what is happening to the water? Well, we see, according to Scripture, there's this massive wall. Well, if it's divided by a mile, let's just do simple math. Let's cut it in half. That means we got a half-mile wall of water on the left, a half-mile wall of water on the right. Can you imagine if you're not in the middle, but you're actually crossing by that wall? Now think about that for a minute. Like this water, and it's just kind of hanging there, right? And you're a little freaked out because you've never seen this before. Not even on TV, because we know they didn't have TV back then. And so, and you couldn't pull it up on YouTube to verify it, right? Because we didn't have that. And you sure couldn't Google it because it, right? Okay, you guys are with me. And so can you imagine walking next to this wall of water? Would we do this or would we run? I'd be like, phew, gone, right? So they see this massive miracle of this half-mile wall of water. And by the way, if you're in the center and you look to your left, how many can see a half mile? Yeah, on a nice clear day. I'm sure it was clear day because you know how I know? The Bible didn't say it was raining. And so if you look over to the left, you see even a half mile away. You're like, oh my goodness, I don't remember that mountain being there. And you look that way and you go, wow, there's a twin. So you know what's going on. And they cross, they get to, and then when they get to the other side, that wall of darkness is gone. So here comes the Egyptian army, Pharaoh and his army, and they know that they're looking to kill the Israelites. The Israelites know that. And they all get down into the Red Sea, and the water lets go. And the whole army is wiped out. You're an Israelite, and you witness all of that. 3 days later, three, count them, 1, 2, 3, 3 days later, the Israelites get mad at Moses. You brought us out here to kill us. You should have left us in bondage. If I was Moses, I'd have hit him with the stick too. Amen? How many would have reached out and struck them just maybe across the chin or on top of the head? Just like maybe once, twice, three times. Maybe you'll go psychotic in a dozen. I don't know. But I'm thinking to myself, 3 days, have you forgotten these massive walls of water? In 3 days. And they wanted to go back to bondage because the road was uncomfortable. But I wonder how uncomfortable it was to be beaten and whipped and making bricks all day. And they were ready to leave freedom, to leave the miracles of God, to go back into bondage. I praise God that the men and women that fought for our freedom as a country weren't afraid. They didn't want to go back to bondage. They didn't want to go back to the British Empire. They didn't want to talk funny anymore. They wanted to be free. And then as Christians, if we're not careful, God says, I've delivered you from bondage. And what do we want to do? We want to run right back into prison. Live in our sin. Do the things we shouldn't be doing. And then we're fearful of the man that's doing what we're doing. And so we want to hang out and stay there because we're afraid to separate ourselves. God, I'm telling you, God has says, I've delivered you. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but you're free. And so what do you need to set your mind on? And that's what Paul's saying. Listen, you want your freedom, then set your mind on it, and you're going to be godly, and you're going to do what's right, and you're not going to go back into that bondage. By the way, if you read Proverbs, it says that a dog returns to its own vomit. Now, I'm not calling you a dog, but if the shoe fits, you might want to tie it. You get what I'm saying? I know, nobody liked that one. Why is it that we got to set our mind right? Well, look here in 8 or 7. Because the carnal mind, the worldly mind, is war against God. Do we see that today, guys? Do we see that the carnal mind is warring against God? Yeah, because listen, all these laws that are being passed completely go against this. And then what's even crazier is if you don't agree with all those laws that they're passing that go against this, that we agree with this, then listen, you're considered hateful, and then they want to punish us just because we don't have the same opinion. But I'm telling you, set your mind on the things of God because they're not war against God. Those things that are not of God are war against God. Verse 7, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh, you can't please God. So as we're looking at this and we're thinking about Independence Day, I want you to think about independence of yourself. How can you separate yourself from the world? Then don't be afraid to do that because we have freedom, right? If we go back down into 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, and therefore you shouldn't be afraid. Look how simple this math gets, amen? So then he goes on in verse 16, for the spirit himself, that's the spirit of God. If you have a New King James Version, you'll see where himself is capitalized. So we know that that's the spirit of God. So he says here in 16, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And so when you walk into a situation and you start feeling fearful, there's no need of that because the spirit of God is going to go, whoa, I'm here, take a stand, be strong. I'm not giving you, listen, the spirit of fear didn't come from me. Stand strong. Even when we look at opposition, you remember when he was talking to the apostles and he said, listen, and when you're arrested and you go before the magistrate or Pharaoh or whoever, you're not Pharaoh, but the governor and all those that you go against, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll speak for you. I mean, God says, I am there. I will equip you. I will empower you. I will deliver you. I will strengthen you. I will encourage you. I will comfort you. Listen, just go because you're not in bondage to the world. So why do we live like we are? Why do we allow sin to reign and control what we know to be right? Well, because we have fear. Why do we have fear? Because you're not thinking right. Why aren't you thinking right? Because you don't have the right relationship with God. And you go, that's not true. Yes, it is. Not just because I said it, but the Bible says it. And I agree with the Bible. Not because, and it's not right because I agree with it. It's right because it's right. No matter what we think. Verse 17, I'm sorry. And if children, then heirs of God. Now, do you realize what that means? Let's just stop there for a second. We have to remember our position. What is our position? Well, if you're children of God, if you have the Holy Spirit in you because you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he died on the cross for our sins, he rose again the third day, he's at the right hand of the Father, he conquered death and hell, and he's reigning. If you believe that, then you are a child of God. And if you are a child of God, then guess what? We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, which means that heaven is our inheritance. Now, have you thought about that for a minute? Not only is heaven our inheritance, but everything that God owns is our inheritance. So what do we need to be afraid of? We own this place. We need to make them call us daddy. I'm kidding. Just make, that was thrown in there from I don't know where. Forgive me. 17. But God says, listen, I've given it to you. It is yours. You own it. Don't be afraid. Take it. Possess it. You know, if I'm in my home and somebody comes into my home and they're not welcome in my home, you know what I tell them to do? Leave. You thought I was going to say something creative, huh? Leave. Get out. I had a guy come to our house one time, him and his family, and my wife made dinner, and my wife is a great cook. Anybody who's ever had her cooking, you know she's an awesome cook, and she's an incredible baker, and she slaved over the stove, and we had this dinner, and they come in, and all he did was complain about the meal. And I'm sitting there, and of course you guys know I'm quiet. I refrain. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to get your wife, get your children, and get your behind out of my house. And of course, every chin, including my wife's, hit the table. Right? And I'm like, I mean, she has slaved all day to make you a dinner, and this is the appreciation? You need to go. He's like, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I go, no, I did, though. Like, I don't care how you meant it now. I mean, you need to go. Well, you know, I don't, we're not even going to talk. Just leave. You might say, well, that ruined a friendship. No. It spared a life. See? You got to look at the positive. And guys, we need to do that to the sinful world. Contrary to the teachings of so many where they're like, oh no, you got to be friends with the world. No, you don't. Oh, you got to be friends with everybody in it and join them so they feel comfortable when you say the name Jesus. No. I was talking to a friend the other day and they said, oh, I went and visited his church. And I went, that is awesome. But it didn't even feel like church. And I went, that's not awesome. I said, how did it feel? I was just so comfortable there. Well, I know their lifestyle. And they went, I went, there was no uneasiness whatsoever at any point in time. And that, no, it was great. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go back. I went, okay. Man, if we're talking about the things of God and people don't believe in God, they shouldn't be comfortable. If we're living out God and you go, well, we got to make them comfortable, we can't offend anybody, that's called PC. Politically correct. Which we are not. Or shouldn't be. Amen? Take the stand. Do what's right. Man, live for God. Don't go to bondage. Don't live in fear. Don't let somebody else dictate your life. If you're not going to let that in your own household, why would you let that in your spirit world? Why would you let it in your church? Is anybody welcome in this church? Yes, everybody's welcome in this church. I had one gentleman call me, and he was like, hey, I'm looking for a church. And I, oh, dude, that's awesome. We'd love to have you. He said, well, what's your church like? I do this way. And I'm going to tell you, Connecting Point is without question, I'm going to say the friendliest church in this whole area. The most inviting, real, down-to-earth people, man, you guys are awesome. And I said, but let me tell you this, man. If you're looking for a church where we're going to sing Kumbaya and I'm going to pat you on the behind and send you away so you feel good, you don't want to come to Connecting Point. Because that's not it. What kind of church are we? A Bible-believing, Bible-standing church. And we're not going to change. And we're not going to accommodate. Our country, you know what made our country so great? Is when we became independent, there were laws established where they did not change and they did not accommodate. You wanted to come in our country, you had to go through a process. Oh, you're all welcome, but there's a process. And you go through the process and you can become a citizen. And it's right. And it's good. somewhere along the line, just like with Christians and the churches and everything else, we eliminated the process. And we just said, come on in. And look at the mess we have. Look, do you realize that it takes 2.2 children per family. Each family has to have 2.2 children to maintain a culture or a society. America is having 1.6 kids per family. What does that say? We're not having enough children to sustain our culture or our society. So men, you should be pretty excited. You just got a job. Go. Ladies looking at me like, don't you even give me. I'm done. Do you realize that Muslims, and you go, oh, you're talking about Muslims, you're going political. Just hold on. These are fun facts. Let's ride them out. The Muslims, on average, per family, are having 8 children. So just by sheer volume, what are they going to do? They're going to change the world. Because they have an agenda, they have a goal, it's fixed, and they're pursuing it. We should have an agenda and a goal, and it should be fixed, but we're not pursuing it. And so we start losing things. Independence Day. Guys, do you realize that the reason we have freedom is because people stand and they're willing to stand up till death? And including death to continue the freedom? And when we stop standing, no matter what, we lose the freedom. And as Christians, when we stop standing spiritually for the Word of God, we lose freedoms. And then when we lose freedoms, we don't just lose our freedom, we lose our country. Because if our country was founded on the very principles of the Word of God, which it was, go back. I mean, you got to go back and get books that they haven't rewritten yet, so you got to get the older ones. And you go back and you read history, you will find that our country was based on the Word of God. And so when we quit taking a stand on the Word of God, we are literally changing our country. Hand in hand. Am I the only one that sees this? If you see it, raise your hand. Amen. Yeah. And so guys, what are we going to do? And you go, well, I can't change our country. No, but you know what? You can change your neighbor, which will change your neighborhood, which will change your city, which will change your state, which will change the next state, which will change the country. You see, the problem is we give up because you know what I also found out about Americans? Of course, nobody in here fits this. This is all outside these walls. Americans have gotten typically lazy. If I can't pull it up with a touch of a button, I'm not interested. What? I got a sweat? What does that mean? Right? Most Americans, man, listen, most kids today, you haven't taught your children how to work. Oh, it's too hot. Leave them in the air conditioning. No, get them outside. Let them pull weeds. Ask my girls. That's their favorite thing to do. As a matter of fact, what was interesting is I haven't had time to work in my garden this year, so my garden is, I've let it grow freely. I've given it the attitude of the world. Freedom, peace, brother, go. Right? And so it has gone. I had flower beds, or you know, the raised beds. They're still there. I don't know where, but they're still there. And so which this is very interesting. So I have Sherry's dad and stepmom who are with us. Amen. Sitting right here. And give them a hand for being here. Yeah. And then I have Sherry's mom who is right there. And she's been here before. Amen. Give her a hand for being here. Amen. And they're all staying at my house. And you go, really? They love each other. Have all their lives. They're like, hey, this isn't working. We'll go along. We're going to marry each other's best friends, and we're just going to go on with life. And you go, that didn't really happen. Ask them. So, at any rate, Papa's at the house, and Papa sees my garden. And he looks at the girls, or looks at Tori, and he says, you should be in there weeding that garden. Keeping it clean. To which my daughter responded, "Don't tell Dad that." And I think she threw in, "If you do, I'll never call you Papa again. You'll be my enemy." That's like no joke. She didn't say that part out loud, but I imagine she was thinking it. She was also thinking, "Listen, that's a perfect place to bury you because they'll never see you with all the weeds if you tell my dad." But I think kids need to work, man. I think kids need to be taught to get in the grind, man, to be taught intestinal fortitude, to be taught that, listen, if you hang in there and you fight for what's right, man, there's a payoff. It might be uncomfortable going through the process, but there's a payoff, and they need to be taught that. But you know what? Kids aren't taught to stand in the gap and fill that spot at any cost. They're taught, "Oh, you need come over here, sweetie. It's okay. They didn't mean to say your feet were big." The kid's got big feet. You see what I'm saying? You should be going, "Look at all the stability God gave you with them big feet." Don't cradle them and make it an issue because it's not an issue. Teach your children to be strong because here's the thing. You're getting old. And a day is coming where they're going to change your diaper. You want them to have the intestinal fortitude to hang in there. They're going to take care of you one day. And if you don't teach them morals and strength and the word of God and how we're not in bondage, that we've been delivered, how we don't have to stand by and let other people run us over because we have the freedom in Christ, the strength in Christ, the encouragement in Christ, the wisdom of Christ. I'm going to tell you, we teach our children to take a stand and be strong and fight. And you know what? We're not teaching them that. And so we're going to lose our Independence Day. We're going to lose our churches. Guys, there's so much more that we need to stand for in this freedom that God has given us. And don't expect somebody else to do it because look around, they're not. And how many people say, "Oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus." You just want to slap them in the mouth. Because their life doesn't say, "I love Jesus." Their actions don't say, "I love Jesus." Their words don't say, "I love Jesus." Do they really love Jesus? If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it must be a duck. Why do we stand by and why are we giving away what is ours? Are we not heirs and joint heirs? This is ours, guys. Why are we giving it away? This is our country. Why are we giving it away? Independence Day. Man, I look at that and I think about what it really cost us to have this day. And then ask how many people really understand what this day is. What does it mean? They might tell you fireworks, hot dogs, and hamburgers. That's not what this day means. That's not what this day is about. And so he says here in 17, "If you're children, then you're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." And then he throws this in. If indeed, indeed, we suffer with him. Typical of God to throw in a stipulation, isn't it? You're like, "Oh man, I gotta suffer." Yeah, what does that suffering look like? I think it looks like what people did to gain Independence Day. Taking a stand, fighting the fight at any cost. I think that's what suffering looks like. Because that means some uneasiness is coming. That means that there's going to be some discomfort. That means that you're going to be challenged. That means you're going to be pushed around a little bit. But are you going to run or are you going to stand? If they ran back in the day when the battle was going on, if they ran back then, do you realize we wouldn't have today? We wouldn't have Independence Day. We wouldn't have 4th of July. We wouldn't have fireworks. We wouldn't have hot dogs. Think about that for a minute, guys. What would have happened if they would have ran? What's going to happen if we as Christians run? What would have happened if they were silent? What's going to happen if we fall silent? What would have happened if they did nothing? What's going to happen if we continue to do nothing? There's a cost. There's a great cost to giving up your freedom and going into bondage. There's an incredible cost. And God says in 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. You became a child of God's." And then in 17, "If you're a child, then you are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." What does God own? Everything. How cool is that? We own everything. We just got to wait for it to be given to us, which I think is right around the corner. It's called the rapture. Because I definitely want to go with the upper taker, not the undertaker. Amen? If you're children, if you are a child of God's, then you are heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. That's take a stand. Take a stand. Take a stand. You know, it's so funny, we can't even get people to make a commitment anymore, let alone to take a stand. How crazy is that? People's all in until they want to do something different, and then they're out. People's all in until something better comes along, then they're out. People are all in until they got to get dirty, then they're out. People are all in until they got to sweat, then they're out. People are all in until there's an inconvenience or a cost, and then they're out. That's not what built this country. That attitude sure is not what gave us Independence Day. But for some reason, we think by doing nothing, we're going to keep what we have. And it's just like my garden. By doing nothing to my garden, all it is now is a square area of weeds with a fence around it. That's all it is. Do you know why? Nothing's been done. And you know what? Those weeds will never go away. Until somebody, I'm kidding, until somebody, I just ruined their day, until somebody goes out there and makes the difference. Because until I go out there, or my girls go out there, or the weed eater goes out there, or the lawnmower goes out there, or the traco goes out there, the bull does something to clear it, it's always going to be run amok. No purpose, no value. I'll tell you how bad it is. I went in there to show somebody my raised beds, and as I was walking in there, I opened the gate, because you know I have a gate to keep the deer out of my weeds. And so I opened the gate and I walked through, and guess what was in there? These jaggers and briars. But they blended in with the weeds, and so I didn't see it, and I had shorts on, so my legs found them. And it hurt really bad. And so you know what I did? I left the garden while the weeds. And I went, oh my goodness, man, I can't go in there. And we are that way, the way I was with the garden or the weeds. We're that way in life. And God says, I'm not giving you that spirit. clean it up, make it new, make it fresh. I've given you the ability. Now go change the world. Start with your own household. Start with you and then your household. Is it going to take work? Yes. You know what I got to do when I go in there to clean that garden up? I got to fight those jaggers. That's not going to be fun. But if I want my garden back, I got to go in there and take it. If we want our country back, or if we at least want to keep Independence Day, we got to take it. We got to make it happen. Are you willing? Do you really believe this book? Do you really believe the words of God? Do you really believe that you can actually make a difference? Because if you don't believe any of that, as the mind thinks, so goes the person. So if you don't believe you can change something, you're absolutely right. We've been equipped, guys. We have been equipped. We have been given all we need. The only thing we've not been given is the determination to make the decision to hang in there. Because that's within each and every human being. You're going to make a decision. Because no decision is still a decision. Our country right now is looking a lot like my garden. The church is looking a lot like my garden. Some of your households are looking a lot like my garden. What are we going to do about it? Happy Independence Day. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. As I look at the scriptures, and I look at everything that's going on, I look at the world, and by the way, you can look at the world and you can read the scriptures, and they're running parallel with each other. And you can see everywhere where God has pushed out, immorality and divisiveness enters freely. You know, our lives are the same way and our hearts are the same way. You're not going to have independence personally. You're not going to have freedom personally. You're going to be in bondage. Because it's only through God that we have freedom. Romans says life and peace. Well, today I'm just challenging you to look at yourself, to look at your decisions, to look at your life. Where are you? Where do you stand? And listen, not everybody is going against God. I'm just saying, as a whole, look at yourself. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says that you don't have life, meaning spiritual life, meaning that you're not going to go on forever. Heaven's not your home. That's according to the Word of God, which we believe. And so you need to make a decision. Do I want the power of God on me because I have God in me via the Holy Spirit? Or am I content just to stay right where I'm at? To which the Bible says is death. And so if you're here today and you do not believe Jesus Christ is your Savior, or you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, I want to give you an opportunity to change that. I'm not going to emotionally move you or emotionally charge you. I'm not going to try to sway you or convince you. The Word of God does the work. The Spirit of God does the work. I don't need to. I just need to give you the information. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the Bible says that you have no hope, that you have death. And you go, well, I don't like that. Well, neither do I, and that's why I'm telling you. But if you want to change it, here's what you do. Now, understand this. I want you to pray a prayer, but the words don't save you. And so if you don't want to pray the prayer, don't pray the prayer. And if you don't believe what you're praying, don't pray it. The prayer is just kind of a roadmap to guide you through so that you have a time stamp of the day that you made a commitment to follow Christ. That's all it is. And I don't know of any other way than to carry to walk you through by doing what we're doing. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Christ, if it's your desire to have life and peace that only He promises, it doesn't come from anywhere else, then you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe Your Word. I believe that life and peace only come through a relationship with You. And so Jesus, right now, I surrender. I ask for forgiveness of all my sin. I repent. I'm going to turn my life and go the other way towards You, not the way away from You. Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me and allowing me the privilege to come to You to have life everlasting.